the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Century Fox and George Lucas bring you an adventure unlike anything on your planet. Star Wars.
Stop that ship! Blast them!
I'd forgotten how much I hate space travel.
Here they come.
They're coming in too fast!
The story of a boy, a girl, and a universe.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
It's a big, sprawling space saga of rebellion and romance.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
I'll come with you to Alderaan. There's nothing for me here now. I want to learn the ways of the Force and become a Jedi like my father.
It's a spectacle, light years ahead of its time. It's an epic of heroes.
Good luck. Hit the accelerator.
Yee-hoo!
And villains.
No!
And aliens from a thousand worlds.
Go that way. You'll be malfunctioning within a day, you near-sighted scrap pile.
Star Wars. A billion years in the making.
The Force will be with you. Always.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, and anybody else who wants to listen to this, welcome to Star Wars, a retrospective into a galaxy far, far away, episode number 4.
Yes, we made it.
That's right, we made it. Phil Ray here along with
Lou Rodriguez.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, and like I said, or anybody else who listens to this shit, this is the meat and potatoes. This is the thing that started us all off. Well, us older people, anyway. Everybody else had to go and, you know, like a DJ has to go back into the crates and the records, you know.
Yeah.
We've been here since day one. Now, 40-something years later, here we are, about to embark on a new episode. But first, we have three more to go.
Yep.
How you
original
been?
Trilogy.
How you been?
All right, great, man. Great. was awesome, man. Just throwing that freaking movie on, man. Just everything. You just turn into a little kid again.
It doesn't get old, and we spoke about that in length a couple of shows ago. By the way, this is a production for Rant EM Radio in conjunction with geeksoftheindustry.com. I should mention that because they are playing this. And by the time you read this, it'll be right before September the 4th. And in pre-production, Lou and I were talking. What pre-production is Lou comes in, he gives me a handshake. We sit down, we talk about what's going on in life. Lou tells me how bad his job is. I tell him how bad life is. And then we talk about what we're going to talk about. And then we, you know, do a show. September 4th, midnight, Toys R Us is going to be debuting a new line of Star Wars toys.
For the Force Awakens.
So now 41-year-old Lou and 41-year-old Phil are like, hey, do we go to Toys R Us and look at the new toys? I think it's going to happen.
I think so, too.
I think the thing is, I didn't want to go alone. And I almost can guarantee that there'll be a bunch of people who are either our age or older than us there anyway. So nobody, but I didn't want to feel like the only big doofus going. So I have another big doofus to go with. Yeah. So we're good to go. I'm excited about the path that the brand is taking, if that makes any sense. Because where Disney's going with it is just amazing.
It really is.
They're expanding every single aspect. My godson, who's 4 years old, has the, I think it's for Xbox, this Disney Infinity thing?
Infinity 3, yeah.
Okay. And how this thing works is you put, like, these figurines of each character of Disney on a platform, and the platform is plugged into the machine. You can actually portal your way into different things. But now, Disney has incorporated Star Wars figures.
Yeah.
So now you can put, like, Luke Skywalker and Goofy in the Death Star, you know? Like, but, again,
really awesome.
Kind of corny, but in hindsight, we had to, like, do that on our own, you know?
Yeah, my cousins had the second one with all the characters, and the Marvel characters.
Marvel 2, yeah.
Yeah, and it was really, really cool. I mean, I was like, if I was a kid, forget it. I'd have a freaking blast with that.
You know, they're expanding the universe.
You got the cartoon.
The cartoon.
Rebels, Star Wars Rebels.
I still have to see that.
Awesome. What a great show.
I still have to
really
see that.
Really great show. Really Star Wars. I mean, you really get that Star Wars feel.
Yeah, I'm sure I do. And, you know, it's funny because I don't, it never, like Lou says, it just doesn't get old. You put the movies on and you're like, you're a kid again. Next month will be very special because it's our favorite movie of all time. And there's nothing more to say about that until we do it because it's going to be epic. I may even dress for the occasion. I don't know. I'm still undecided. But all joking aside, this is the movie that started it all. This is, you know, we were three when it came out. So I'm thinking I must have seen it maybe shortly after that because by the time Empire came out, we were already like in kindergarten at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and what was cool about back then is they would put those movies back out prior to the new movie coming out. So that's how I saw New Hope.
That's how it seemed.
I didn't see it obviously as a 3-year-old. But, you know, everybody was dancing to disco records too, you know. So, so either way. And Bill Murray was singing about it on Saturday Night Live. But this is the New Hope. This is the movie that started everything. This was George Lucas's baby.
It was so groundbreaking, too, for the time. It was the first blockbuster movie to beat Jaws.
Right.
And, it was just the way that the background story, too, is awesome about it, too, about how, you know, he did American Graffiti.
Yep.
Nobody wanted to buy it.
$11 million budget.
Yeah. And people didn't think it was going to be worth anything.
And it grossed about almost $1 billion.
Yeah.
Almost. Only 770.
I think they said with inflation, it's the second highest grossing of all time.
Yeah. Let me give you the reading
after
on that.
After Gone with the Wind, I believe.
It was released on May 25th, 1977. It earned $461 million in the U.S., $314 overseas, totaling $775. Like Lou said, it surpassed Jaws to become the highest grossing film of all time until E.T. came out in 83. Lou also mentioned the inflation adjustment. Star Wars was the second highest grossing film in the U.S. and Canada. And
we
third
count Canada?
Do we? It when the dollar's good, yeah. Sorry, Matt. Sorry, Matt. Listening to our boy Matt in Canada. Got 10 Academy Award nods and nominations.
First sci-fi movie, too.
For Best Picture, right?
Yes.
It was selected to be a part of the National Film Registry. So what it... You're a film guy. What's the significance of being on the film industry? Do you know?
Yeah, they basically take your film and put it in a vault. So it's forever, you know, it's always going to be there, I guess to say.
Okay.
It becomes like a national record, basically. So,
oh, like Citizen Kane, yes, shit like that.
Yes, stuff
okay.
Like that, yes.
Okay. All right. So you mentioned George Lucas, and his baby. Get into a little bit about what the premise was. And I know he did something with it. It was supposed to be based on like that loosely on the Flash Gordon.
He wanted to do Flash Gordon, and they didn't want to buy the rights for it. The movie studios.
Right.
They wouldn't give him the money for it. He tried. Spielberg, Coppola, they were actually going to give money to him to try to get the rights, but it just wouldn't go through. So he said, you know what, F you guys, I'll make my own movie. And
right.
He had a little short draft that he started with, and he just kind of writing, and it took him a couple of weeks, actually,
yeah,
just to write the first draft.
So he did the American Graffiti first.
Well, no, he did THX 1138, which is a sci-fi movie in 71. A horrible movie.
Is it?
So fucking boring. I tried so many times as a fan of George, I couldn't do it. it's so bad.
Yeah.
And it got critically panned. It bombed in the box office. Nobody wanted to work with him. So then he did American Graffiti. And the story behind American Graffiti was he was actually touring that at colleges. And it was just word of mouth was getting there. And then finally, the movie studios wound up buying it. It was Universal, was it, or Fox? Did Fox buy it?
Universal.
I know
Universal rejected it, and so did Universal. Universal and United Artists.
Yes.
Rejected
yes,
it. Right? Okay. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, and then
20th Century Fox and Alan
Fox,
Ladd.
Alan Ladd Jr., yep.
Right, okay.
He was actually more invested into George Lucas than the actual movie.
And let's talk about that real briefly for a second, because when you watch the documentary I mentioned a few episodes ago, I already forgot the name of it. He was a big part of him being invested in George Lucas was the biggest part of this entire thing because he had the influence to have 20th Century pick up they didn't want to do it.
Yeah. Well, nobody wanted a sci-fi. They didn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Right.
Those movies didn't make money at that time.
You know?
Nobody really saw his vision of what he was going to do with it. His main sell with it was the technological expert.
It's a good segue because I think it's because of this movie and the changes that the script made, he founded Industry Light and Magic.
Yes.
Which put the movie over the top.
Yeah.
In terms of groundbreaking stuff. I mean, listen, the story is great. The effects are amazing for its time, but the sound is the reason why Lou and I still go to the movies.
Yeah.
And why I have a 60-inch TV downstairs.
Exactly.
Right, because... And you have a big screen TV, too, I'm sure. And I think it's because of that, the sound.
Yep. And he created our THX sound.
Right.
That's what... Big. So now, another little thing, a little trivia. All of his movies always had the THX 1138, which is his first movie.
Yeah.
It's always an 1138 somewhere in the movie. There's a license plate in American Graffiti. There's a helmet, helmet stuff on Star
know
Wars.
That.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, if you look it up on, if you Google it, you'll see every movie that he has.
All right. So, obviously, again, it was released in May 25th, 1977. Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, Peter Cushing.
Yes.
Famous
for the Hammer films.
Yep. Sir Alec Guinness.
Yes.
And, of course, John
Academy Award winner.
Yes. John Williams did the score, obviously.
Most iconic score, I think, in history, probably, from a movie.
The poster, right? The movie poster itself, and I'm looking at it right now, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The poster, it's synonymous with anything Star Wars. It's so 70s.
Yeah.
Like the open
shirt. I was just going to say that. Yeah.
I was like, high five, Lou.
The girl
under his arm, like, yeah, bitch, you want some of that? You know?
Yeah, he's super sexy Skywalker.
Right, and like the evil right behind him and that star in the fleet and the whole nine yards and the fucking droids and all that shit. But...
You know, speaking of the time, you know, watching the movie, really hard to see that it was made in the 70s. I think it's one of the most, like... That's the word I'm looking for. I don't know. It's just you watch the movie and it doesn't feel like it's one of those few movies that you can say like, wow, when was this made? Like a couple of years ago? You know, most of it.
Is it because of the prequel on how good some of the effects were? especially in when we mentioned the Clone Wars. Remember the Clone Wars? We mentioned all the CGI and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it because they were so well done?
It was way ahead of its time.
Right. Way ahead still, of its time. Like when you watch, I remember when Star Wars came on television, and I'm talking like after, I'm talking like when did the first Star Trek motion picture movie came out? I think around the same time or right after Star Wars.
Right after, yeah.
79,
like
I think.
78, 79, something like that.
All my
yeah.
Trekkies, please don't give me shit for this when we put this out. I'm not a big, big Trekkie. I do love Star Trek. But I, you know what? I'm a liar. After Empire came out, because I was in like the first or second grade. So this had to be 81, 82. They put it on like the, it was the Sunday movie of the week. Remember those in the day?
Yes.
Okay. I'm so glad you're my age, boys.
Yeah. ABC actually used to do that.
Exactly.
ABC, yeah,
okay.
ABC,
so they
NBC.
Played that movie. They played Star Wars. And they had like PBS at the time. PBS ran a documentary on Lucas and the making of the film with the stills and the models and scale models.
Yes,
and
yep.
And it was just like, as a kid, as like a seven-year-old, I was like,
I used to love. They used to always have the specials right before the movie came out.
Yeah,
for Empire Return.
Yeah,
on CBS, I remember you just wait and would like the.
That's why maybe it was CBS, not PBS. I'm thinking it was on TV.
Yeah, it was on TV, and it would take over like instead of like the cartoon. Like they used to have like the Charlie Brown Christmas special or whatever.
Of course,
but it would be like all right, the Star Wars, the making of Star Wars,
yeah.
or the making of Empire.
Yeah,
yeah, it was great, man. I used to love that stuff.
So.
And even as a kid, you know, you wouldn't think you'd be into a documentary. And
right.
you're enthralled. You're just so into, like, wow.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, but the thing is, too, I can't stress enough how much this movie opened you up to everything cool in your life. And it's not even my favorite. Like, this was, like, groundbreaking shit. I remember going to see Empire at the premiere in Times Square. Because my cousin was an usher at the movie house over there. And back in the day, the movie houses were still, like, from, like, the 30s. Mm, they still had the... They still,
curtains and everything. Yeah,
we still had all that. My cousin was, you know, an older guy, and he would get us into the theater. I mean, I saw opening night in New York for Star Wars of Empire, for Superman 2, for... which other one I saw? Shit, Ghostbusters, 84. So I saw a lot of movies in this particular theater.
That's cool.
In Times Square when they were still having hookers.
See, Staten Island had some theaters like that too. But
because you grew up out
the Lane, here. Yeah, they had the Lane Theater, which was a beautiful, one of my favorite theaters. It had a balcony and everything.
Yeah.
It was great. That was one of my dreams. I would love to just open up an old school theater like that.
We had the Ridgewood Theater in Ridgewood, Queens. And that was, it's still there. They declared it a landmark about 10 years after they closed it. Oh. And it has the balconies. And I saw Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark there. I saw Back to the Future there. I saw E.T. there. I saw Jaws. Like, for a film guy, that's got to be all nostalgia for you.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's just I'm in awe of the... Like, even like with my house, it has that same, the crown, the molding downstairs. Like, it's you could tell these things were built in like the 20s and the 30s and shit, you know? So, all right. Enough about that because we can go on a tangent with that.
Yeah.
But let's talk about... the movie itself. Now, as we left off, Anakin does the full turn. The Empire now is formed.
Yep.
The Galactic Empire.
Palpatine is in total control.
Yeah. You know, our boy Shreve, right?
Shreve. I forgot about that. Mazel tov.
What is that? Oh, is that velvet? What is that, wool? Do you lift people with your hands with that thing all the time? No, seriously. Anakin loses he fought the good fight. His mentor cut him up pretty bad. Hence the creation of Darth Vader. So now, fast forward now, we're 20 years at least?
17 years.
17 years
17
after?
Years, yeah.
Okay. And there's the Civil War going on now, and this band of rebels are still lurking, and they're regrouping, trying to get shit together, right?
Yep.
And let's get into it. They have this. They have a plan because they have the stolen plans, right? Is that how?
Yep, the stolen plans of the Death Star.
Right.
The Death Star is a giant battle station. It's the size of a moon.
Right.
A small moon.
Right.
And destroys planets. But it's going to be the basically the turning point for the war, where they'll have the advantage. The Empire will have the total advantage.
Right.
Which, just a quick side note, that's what the new movie Rogue One, the little side movie they're doing. They're doing Star Wars stories now in between the trilogy, the new trilogy.
Are they?
Yeah. So
like motion pictures?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
They're actually filming it now.
I didn't know that.
It's called the Rogue One. It's called Rogue One, a Star Wars story. It's about the band of rebels who actually stole the Death Star plans. And it looks total, like, Dirty Dozen kind of old school war movie that they're going for. Kind of going for like a Vietnam kind of war movie.
That's crazy.
Hell yeah. Wow. And then they're doing a Han Solo film after that. And you ready? Ready? I don't know if you're going to be able to handle this. Boba Fett.
All right. They have to a bounty hunter movie. Because yep. There's so much to do with that.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, between the Hutts and the bounty hunter himself and the clones and, like, where are the rest of them, you know? Yeah, yeah. There's got to be a backstory behind that.
The rumors are they're looking forward to do, like, a heist movie with different bounty hunters and Boba Fett in the lead. Like, leading a bunch of bounty hunters on a mission. Kind of like a Suicide Squad kind of thing.
Okay. I could dig that. I could.
That's right. Just the rumors, though.
Okay. All right. So take us to the opening. Take us to the opening, the first scene you want to go over in terms of. So now.
The Carillion Corvette being attacked.
Right.
By the Empire. By Star Destroyer.
The Star Destroyer. And the Empire now has inside information that there might be somebody on the ship who has the stolen plans.
Plans, yes. Real quick, this movie, I'm going to be able to give you a lot of technical details as far as the ships and the vehicles because
okay.
In like 95, I became obsessed with buying the toys and everything, and I just loved everything. Like the prequels, I couldn't tell you half of the ships' names.
Right.
New Hope and Empire and Return, I pretty much know like all the models and all that other stuff. All
right, so how you know how me and Lou do it? Lou and I picked a bunch of clips. And we're going to play them each way, so let's do it now. So, the heavenly armed, like Lou said, the space station, which is capable of blowing up a whole planet. It's the size of a moon, right?
Yep.
Okay. The rebel leader, of course, Princess Leia, who has the plans, but her ship is captured by Imperial forces.
Yes.
So. With Darth Vader.
Yes, and then the entrance of Darth Vader. How fuck, man, I had a tear in my eye. It was so beautiful.
Right. What's cool is when they re-released the movies before the prequel, I got the same, like the smoke.
That and fucking presence. Right. Just like, you know he's fucking pure evil.
And the breathing and the mask and James Earl Jones. I'm so glad they didn't make I'm sure David Prowse has a nice voice, but I'm glad they didn't do him.
No, he doesn't really.
No.
He's really British.
Oh, no, I didn't know.
He's like, oh, no, you have the plans for the rebels. Really like squeaky. It's really bad.
Right. So, you know, Leia is a strong character. I mean, we'll get into her in depth, I guess, during the movie as we cover it. But, you know, you could tell right away that
She's tough.
She's tough as shit.
Yeah.
You know? So we're going to take you now to, they just bum rush the ship. And she has been captured. And to this day, nothing compares. I mean, I've seen robots and Transformers and GoBots and Mecha and Robotech. Nothing to me has a better mask or better suit than a Stormtrooper.
Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, Bounty Hunter, of course, is my favorite character. But the Stormtrooper, for me, is like, it's a staple. You know, for me, it's everything, you know?
Yeah, hell yeah.
So there's
when you had the toys, you had to have at least three or four of them.
Just to make sure. I had four. I had two plain, and I had two from Empire when they were in the Hoth.
The snowtroopers.
The snowtroopers. Okay, yeah. Which were my and the TIE fighter pilots. The
black TIE fighter pilots.
Yes, with the gray gloves.
Yes.
Okay,
yes, those sick.
Those guys. I never had them in the ship.
All the variations were awesome. And the new ones too.
I barely put that guy in the ship. He was so badass.
He's badass, exactly.
I would make him hold a gun that didn't fit him. I didn't give a shit. He was my guy.
Yeah, okay. He was. He was awesome.
All right. So let's take you now to, let me turn up this dial so I don't.
So this is Leia's confrontation with Vader.
Right, this is it.
And Vader's accusing her of stealing.
Right, of course.
Darth Vader, only you could be so bold. The Imperial Senate will not sit still for this. When they hear you've attacked a diplomatic...
Don't act so surprised, Your Highness. You weren't on any mercy mission this time. Several transmissions were beamed to the ship by rebel spies. I want to know what happened to the plans they sent you.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a member of the Imperial Senate on a diplomatic mission to Alderaan.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take her away!
Is that it?
Yeah, that was it. That scene, I loved it. Me and Phil were just sitting there.
Lip syncing it. So, you know what I didn't write down and I should have, but now that I saw it, I'm glad I did. So the grittiness of his mask, of Vader's mask, when up close, like when she's yelling at him, you could tell like the grit, like his mask has been through some shit. Like, you know, you're like, oh, well, you know.
You couldn't notice that until the Blu-rays.
The Blu-ray put everything out there.
Holy shit. When I was watching it yesterday, all I kept saying was, holy fuck. I mean, just details, like little color details, like the discolorations and, you know, rust spots on the robots and stuff like that. Amazing.
So, of course, you know, before she's captured by the rebels, by Lord Vader and the Empire, she hides the plans in R2.
Yes.
All right. With the holographic recording, we'll get into that later.
I noticed this last night, but when she's talking, she talks pretty American, right?
English accent when she gets.
Then all of a sudden she gets this English accent.
It's like Madonna.
When she's talking to Tarkin later on.
I was telling that to my buddy. I was telling that to Will from that awful podcast. I said, you know, every time she yells at somebody, she's Madonna. She has Madonna syndrome. That's what Madonna did for a long time. Madonna married some British.
Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, she married that director dude, and she was British all of a sudden.
Yeah.
After Vogue came out, she was like, all right, I'm British.
Yeah.
No, you're from Detroit. Stop.
And I mean, she's a good actress. I had nothing against her actress, but I wonder, like, where was that decision made? Was that because supposedly Lucas sucks as well? We know that he sucks with actors, but especially on this one, they said that he really wasn't giving them direction or whatever. So it was just kind of like, I think they said it faster and more intense. That was his words. So anytime he told you to do a shot again, he'd be like, faster, more intense. That was it.
Yeah.
So, like, he didn't notice the English accent. Like,
he didn't go cut. Wait. Who are you? What are you doing? You know, maybe because she was hot, maybe because of the buns, maybe she...
She was hot, though.
She was hot in 1977.
Yeah.
So at that panel at Comic-Con, I was like, not so much now.
Yeah, not so much.
But listen, we all can't age gracefully like her, you know? I mean, not like her.
Time's not on everybody's side.
No, you're right, my man. You are so right. So they, you know, she puts the plans in the R2 unit. Of course, R2 is with his boy, C-3PO.
Yeah.
They're BFFs now. And they get into an escape pod and shot off to Tatooine, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Another thing, two of the most iconic robots, I think, in history.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody does not know who C-3PO and R2-D2 is.
Is there a way to access that droids cartoon from, like, the 80s?
Remember that? Maybe YouTube might have some.
Remember that cartoon? Yeah. That really put them...
Yeah.
Solidified their... iconic state, I think. You know,
it didn't really do too good. I think
no, it didn't. But right? For us, I mean, for the hardcore fans,
yeah. For
listen, for us as little kids, anybody who got their own thing or did their own thing in the realm of this stood out.
Yeah, well, there was no Star Wars cartoons. We had Ewoks. That was it. Ewoks and droids.
That was it. And that shitty Christmas special, which the Rants could be covering, which you're going to be a part of, and we'll get into that in a couple of months. But, so they get shot over to Tatooine. We know the story behind Tatooine. We spoke about it. It's Anakin's home planet. It's not a nice place. It's disgusting.
Sand gets everywhere.
It's just sand everywhere. And sand and... you know what? It's like Orchard Beach in the Bronx, you know? It's like, yeah, it's just a lot of sand and a lot of crime. You know, a lot of sand, a lot of crime.
Tatooine is kind of, what do they say? It's most of the the smugglers and stuff like that. What am I thinking? Like Jabba.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the word I'm thinking? Look for him. What is he? Mob. Like kingpins.
Mob.
Yeah, the mob. Crime, the crime kingpins.
He is the John Gotti of the Outer Realm.
Yes.
Right? Does that make
sense?
Yeah, the Gambino of the Outer Realm. So the droids are captured by Jawas, right? Now Jawas are like, you want to explain a Jawa?
Oh man. Dwarfs in hooded robes with no faces and just bright eyes.
Their eyes look like faded light brights.
Light brights, yeah.
Yeah, remember light bright? If you guys don't know what a light bright is, see, now we're really showing our age. A light bright was a toy we played with back in the 70s and 80s. It was just a plastic board with holes, right? And the thing that held the holes was like made of, I guess, hard cardboard.
It was like a construction paper.
Construction paper type thing. What you would do is you would take colored pegs and you would stick them in the holes, and the holes would have different shapes. And you would make like different shapes, like animals and whatever, and you'd turn this light bright on, you light up, and it would. But when the light bulb faded, that was Jawa's eyes. let me see if I can get like a little quick little thing on Jawas, if they explain them at all. They're rodents, from what it says here on Wikipedia.
Really?
They're rodents.
I did not know that.
They use long abandoned mining sand crawlers, which is those big, that big ship. It's called a sand crawler.
Yeah, yeah.
What they do is they just steal shit. And they're like
fix it and then you try to sell it.
They're like, yeah, and I'm not trying to sound funny, but they're like junk collectors. They're like Sanford and
Sanford
Son.
Sanford and Son, yeah.
It's like, they're like Lamonts.
Yeah.
They're like little Lamonts, you know?
You big dummy.
Yeah, they do, and they're very hardworking people. I guess they're scavengers, I guess you want to call them?
Yeah, I would say.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's pretty much what I got on the Jawas. Okay. So they capture 3PO and R2, and they sell them to a moisture farmer named Owen. And Owen and LaRue were who took Luke
at the end of episode 3.
So now we know Uncle Owen and Aunt LaRue are Luke's, I guess, his parents.
Uncle and Aunt,
and they raised them. So now Luke is, what, 17 now? About to be 18?
Something like that, yeah.
All right. So what's the next scene here? So Luke is now sent to clean up the droids and get ready for the next season. What does a moisture farmer do?
It's actually exactly what it sounds like. They extract moisture from the air and from the sand to get water. Because they are on a desert planet.
For crops and stuff.
That's
why he needs them for the next.
Drinking water and stuff.
He won't let Luke go to the academy because he needs them for the next harvest. And
yes.
Then we need
the
more
academy is the where they train to become starfighters.
And there's no blue milk there. Only Aunt LaRue has the blue milk.
That fucking blue milk. I want that blue milk so badly.
Yeah. I can make it for you here. Just need some food coloring. I don't know how you fucking how your energy.
I want to find the blue cow that gives the blue milk.
Dude, if you find a blue cow, we might be hanging out more often than you think. All right. So you want? Are we playing this part now?
He meets up with Obi-Wan.
Oh, we're skipping all the way down to that. Okay. 23 minutes. It's the second clip. It's 23 minutes.
Do I have
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you're right. Scene. Yes, you're right.
So he's giving 3PO the oil bath, and he's jamming all the crud out of R2.
Yeah.
And this is where he finds the message. You want to play that?
I think.
What was it?
23 is the actual dinner scene. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Don't weigh on me if I take this off. Okay. There you go.
Wait a minute, where'd she go? Bring her back. Play back the entire message.
What message? The one you've just been playing. The one you're carrying inside your rusty innards.
Oh, yeah, the dinner scene.
All right, I'll be right there, Aunt Beru.
I'm sorry.
Just explain what happened real quick before we get to that.
Oh, yeah, so Luke finds the hologram message of Princess Leia.
Well, and it's just a piece of the message.
It just says, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
And I'm repeating.
And he's like, Obi-Wan, does he mean the old hermit dude, Ben Kenobi, that hangs out in the sand cave?
Kenobi must be a famous name around there or something.
He might be the only Kenobi.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you know, if there's a, If you got a guy in your block named Nagasaki, you didn't. We don't have a lot of Nagasakis on Staten Island, you know?
So if he was Obi-Wan, I'm sure he was the same as Ben Nagasaki.
Right, right. So let's go now to the dinner.
Here, see what you can do with him. I'll be right back.
Just you reconsider playing that message for him.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he likes you at all. No, I don't like you either.
There it is, blue milk.
You know, I think that R2 unit we bought might have been stolen.
What makes you think that?
Well, I stumbled across a recording while I was cleaning him. It says he belongs to someone called Obi-Wan Kenobi. I thought he might have meant old Ben. Do you know what he's talking about? Well, he's related to Ben.
That wizard's just a crazy old man. Tomorrow, I want you to take that R2 unit to Anchorhead and have its memory erased. That'll be the end of it. It belongs to us now.
But what if this Obi-Wan comes looking for?
He won't. I don't think he exists anymore. He died about the same time as your father.
He knew my father?
I told you to forget it. Your only concern is to prepare those new droids for tomorrow. In the morning, I walk them up there on the South Ridge working on those condensers.
I think those new droids are going to work out fine. In fact, I also think about our agreement, about me staying on another season. And if these new droids do work out, I want to transmit my application to the Academy this year.
You mean the next semester before the harvest?
Mm-hmm. Sure, there's more than enough droids.
Harvest is when I need you the most. Only one season more. This year we'll make enough on the harvest that I'll be able to hire some more hands, and then you can go to the Academy next year. You must understand I need you, Luke.
But it's a whole other year.
But it's only one more season.
Yeah, she said when Biggs and Tank left.
Where are you going?
I'm going nowhere. I'm going to any of those droids.
Oh, and he can't stay here forever. Most of his friends have gone. It means so much to him.
I'll make it up to him next year. I promise.
Luke's just not a farmer, Owen. He has too much of his father in him.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah. You mean lying. So, before I get into anything else, I just want to... They aged terribly.
Yeah.
They weren't that old looking when they got...
To, 17 years, yeah.
Yeah, like, really?
Is sunbeaten from the...
Is the moisture farming industry that bad?
Yeah, they got dual suns.
Maybe he drinks. Maybe he drinks. Maybe he's...
Probably drunk, yeah.
And look at Aunt LaRue, that poor lady.
they would definitely went through the...
Holy lady. Shit. All right, go ahead, Lou. We'll talk me through the next...
So, what are we on next? R2 escapes. He tricks them into taking out the restraining bolt. That's why he was able to... He took away the message or whatever. So he escapes.
Right.
And...
All right, I'm just queuing up the next...
I think what was it? The Sand People. They see the Sand People.
Right.
The Tusken Raiders.
The Tusken... I should make a soundboard now that I bought a soundboard program.
The ones that Anakin killed in... Clone Wars and...
Yeah. That enslaved... That captured his mom.
Yeah.
So...
And we meet Obi-Wan for the first time.
And that's right
he
here.
He scares the
He scares the Sand People away.
Sand People away with the Krayt Dragon call. I know that.
All right. Hold on a second. So... 30-40 is the next clip.
The Krayt Dragon is what that actual skeleton is that they show in the
boy, yeah. Am I glad to see you.
The jungle and wastes are not to be traveled lightly.
He kills this
one. Tell me, young Luke, what brings you out this far?
This little droid. I think he's searching for his former master, but I've never seen such devotion in a droid before. He claims to be the property of an Obi-Wan Kenobi. Is he a relative of yours? Do you know who he's talking about?
His face is like, who?
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obi-Wan. Now that's a name I've not heard in a long time.
I use that line at least once
long
a week.
Long time.
Yeah.
For everything.
I think my uncle knows him. He said he was dead.
Oh, he's not dead. Not yet.
Well, you know him.
Well, of course I know him. He's me. I haven't gone by the name of Obi-Wan since all before you were born.
Well, then, the droid does belong to you.
Don't seem to remember ever owning a droid. Very interesting. I think we better get indoors. The sand people are easily startled, but they'll soon be back, and in greater numbers.
That's it.
3PO.
All right. Anyway, so that's pretty much it with that, right? Am I playing more or
not? No, the next one's 34.
34 minutes. Okay. Good.
So, just speaking about Alec Guinness, he was way above everybody's pay grade, man. Like, he even said he hated dialogue in the movie. And he still delivers that line like nobody else, those lines that like nobody else can do it.
Yeah.
Him and Grand Moff Tarkin, Peter Cushing, like two of the most established actors.
Well, they were like classically trained Shakespearean cats, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, this is something that's way, that's not. I don't want to say beneath them, but it was definitely a challenge for them, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, and there's always been discussions about how the dialogue was so bad. Even Harrison Ford said, you could write that shit, but you just can't say it.
Yeah.
Because
it's the truth.
We're used to it. You know what I mean? Because we don't see anything wrong with it because it's just...
Right, exactly. Exactly.
You know? But, you show somebody, like a classically trained actor that for the first time, and they're going to sit there and go, who the fuck writes this shit? I guess like the way we feel about the prequels.
Yeah.
How we said about some of the dialogue. We were just like, what the fuck were you thinking when you wrote this?
Yeah, you exposed all that bad, dialogue. That was awesome.
Hayden Christensen hates me right now.
Fuck him. What's he doing now? Like, exactly. Nothing.
Nothing.
He's like Mark Hamill, the new millennium, You got to do voiceovers, fucking cartoons, All right, so what's the next scene now is him...
Describing the Force to Luke.
Okay.
This is the first thing that we hear about the Force.
But we know what the Force is now because of the prequels, right?
The prequels, yeah.
But this is something that Luke doesn't know because it was 17 years ago, and his very aged aunt and uncle don't want nothing to do with that stuff. They just... The simple folk. So now, he's in now. He's piecing stuff over in his head.
That's a good question. I wonder, do they know that Anakin is Darth Vader?
Well,
it's never something that's really been touched on.
Obviously, Luke doesn't know.
Yeah. Well,
he just knows that his father was dead. But now I think.
Like, you think Obi-Wan actually. Well, does even Obi-Wan know that Anakin? No, well, he does.
Well, he feels it, yeah. But the thing is, the way Owen and LaRue were telling him things, more Uncle Owen, not Aunt LaRue, I think now Luke is just questioning every single aspect of this whole scenario.
Yeah.
Because it's not a point of him questioning authority, being a typical 17-year-old. Now it's like, listen, you told me he was dead, but you didn't tell me he was this, and this.
That's what I mean. I'm like this son, like, did Obi-Wan tell him when he was giving them up? Like, listen, Anakin went batshit. He freaking started killing younglings. He went freaking crazy.
Right. So, but these are things now you ask yourself after you've seen all these other movies. So, this is the explanation of the Force, and Luke now gets to see what a lightsaber is.
Yes, his father's lightsaber.
That's his dad's lightsaber.
Guardians of peace and justice in the old Republic. Before the dark times. Before the Empire.
How did my father die?
A young Jedi named Darth Vader, who was a pupil of mine until he turned to evil, helped the Empire hunt down and destroy the Jedi Knights. He betrayed and murdered your father. Now the Jedi are all but extinct. Vader was seduced by the dark side of the Force.
The Force?
Now, the Force is what gives the Jedi his power. It's an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us and penetrates us. It binds the galaxy together.
So much better explanation than midichlorians.
Now, let's see if we can't figure out what you are, my little friend. And where...
All right. So now, Kenobi sees the
message.
The message.
Which is Leia asking for help. She knows that he fought alongside her father, I believe.
In the Clone Wars. You want to play the clip? Or?
Yeah, you might as well. Yeah, right. Go for it.
Come from?
I saw part of the message.
I seem to have found it.
General Kenobi, years ago you served my father in the Clone Wars. Now he begs you to help him in his struggle against the Empire. I regret that I am unable to present my father's request to you in person, but my ship has fallen under attack, and I'm afraid my mission to bring you to Alderaan has failed. I have placed information vital to the survival of the Rebellion into the memory systems of this R2 unit. My father will know how to retrieve it. You must see this droid safely delivered to him on Alderaan. This is our most desperate hour. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Just for clarity, too, her father is Bail Organa, who was played by Jimmy Smith.
Yes, he was.
2 and 3.
Right, and he took ownership of her.
Of her.
When he split the kids up at the end of the last movie.
He's the senator of Alderaan.
He is.
Which comes into play.
Oh, yeah. Well. All right.
So after that, they go. What's going on after that? They find the Jawas, the Sandcrawler.
Yeah.
Attacked.
Yep. Let's see 1 second. Oh, wait. He's 47, right?
Yeah, 47.
40.
I think that's just it's just the introduction to Han Solo.
Okay, 1 second. I'm sorry. It's a little hard to...
Yeah, so I'll explain. The Sandcrawler, they find Obi-Wan and Luke find the Sandcrawler shot with Imperial blasters.
Yep.
And dead Jawas all over the place.
Yep.
I don't know why I never noticed this before, but for some reason it disturbed the shit out of me. Fucking 3PO throwing the dead Jawas into the fire, into that giant bonfire.
Yeah.
It's pretty freaking sick.
It is pretty sick.
I was just like, I don't know why. You're just like, I've seen it a million times, and I'm like, that's kind of creepy. It's disturbing, man. It's like...
Well, I mean, the Empire now has an idea of where the plans are, and they send the troops to Tatooine.
Yes.
And this is... Listen, for this part of the world, this part of the realm, to be inspected... I'm doing the quote, air quote, somebody sees me with Lou. But to be inspected, it's like, okay... Something's going down because these guys never come here. There's no reason for the Imperial for the Imperial guys to come here. It's like it's not cool. You know, it's not being. It's
yeah, I think it's. I think also they said it in one of the books about it was a kind of a treaty kind of thing that they would let the crime lords do what they got to do.
Right, like they it's like the cops not going to certain blocks.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we're not going to Jersey Street tonight, guys. I don't feel like getting shot up. So. And it's a Staten Island reference for all you locals. But anyway, so now they find stuff blown up. Luke goes back to...
Well, he realizes now, if they followed the droids to here...
They must have followed them to the farm.
To the farm.
And that was it. So now Luke now has nothing. That's it,
yep. They killed Emperor and Uncle Owen.
Uncle Owen, yeah. And it would now it's okay. I guess I'll hang out with this old man.
Yep, and fight
and fight the good fight. So they get into that sand speeder, which is probably the
land speeder. Yeah.
The land speeder, the first Star Wars toy, the first vehicle I've ever gotten.
I think so too, but you know I could probably say the same thing because I remember having that one.
We actually have a Lego of it in Mikey's room, and telling him the story, showing him the movie was pretty cool after we built it, and you know. But anyway, so now they need transportation to Alderaan.
Yep.
So what do they do? How do you find... First of all, I like how Kenobi just... I know where to go.
I got this.
You know, like, he's the hermit guy. Nobody talks to him, but he knows everything. He knows the ins and outs of this.
It's actually really cool on the Marvel comics that they're doing now. They're doing it... the time before they're doing the comics to take place after New Hope and between New Hope and Empire.
Yep.
But they did a story where they showed a journal that Luke found of what Obi-Wan was doing while he was growing up.
Yeah.
And you see him going into the Mos Eisley and you know, going around and talking to people and dealing with the ruffians and all that stuff.
The ruffians. Yeah. All right. So they need transportation. Enter. the man.
Yes.
Han Solo. Han Solo, played by Harrison Ford, and his Wookiee companion Chewbacca.
Co-pilot, best friend.
Right. Now, we obviously know Chewbacca from Kashyyyk, and we know the Wookiees, and they're friends with they were friends with Yoda, and they were very pinnacle part of the Clone Wars in guiding them into the whole, you know, helping out with what they needed to do.
I'm curious if they're going to keep the backstory, because, you know, all the new stuff that they wrote before, they kind of wiped it all out, and it's not canon no more. But the original story was that Chewbacca was captured by the Empire, and Han Solo had, they were slaves, basically all the Wookiees. And Han Solo had freed him, and he owed him a life debt.
Okay.
The Wookiee has a life debt with Han Solo.
And Solo, played by Harrison Ford, is the smooth-talking pilot, smuggler. He just moves goods, and that's how he gets paid.
Spice.
And he has the, quote-unquote, the fastest ship in the system.
He did the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs.
He'll tell you that in a minute. But now they, you know, they need a ride. So what's the quickest way? Go with the best guy. Ask around. They asked around.
And somebody who'll keep underground. They don't want to get any attention.
They don't want anybody getting attention. And again, they know something's up. So let's take you now to the introduction of Han Solo. Cantina Band. I got their greatest hits.
Great album. We're going to be doing a reunion tour next year.
I hope. Solo.
I'm Captain of the Millennium Falcon. Chewie here tells me you're looking for passage to the Alderaan system.
Yes, indeed. If it's a fast ship.
Fast ship? You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon?
Should I have?
It's a ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. I've outrun Imperial starships. Not the local bulk cruisers, mind you. I'm talking about the big Carillion ships now. She's fast enough for you, old man. What's the cargo?
Only passengers. Myself, the boy. Two droids. And no questions asked.
What is it, some kind of local trouble?
Let's just say we'd like to avoid any Imperial entanglements.
Well, that's the real trick, isn't it? And it's going to cost you something extra. $10,000, all in advance.
$10,000? We can almost buy our own ship for that.
But who's going to fly it, kid? You?
You bet I could. I'm not such a bad pilot myself. We don't have to sit here and listen.
We can pay you $2,000 now, plus $15 when we reach Alderaan.
$17. Okay, you guys got yourselves a ship. We'll leave as soon as you're ready. Docking Bay 94.
94.
Looks like somebody's beginning to take an interest in your handiwork.
All right, we'll check it out.
Again, George Lucas created one of the most iconic characters. Everything in this movie is, like, freaking iconic.
What he means by stardom is right before this happened, real quick, some dude was, like, picking on Luke at the bar. And I don't like you. He's like, I'm wanted. I have the death sentence in so many different other systems. Blah blah blah. My friend doesn't like you either. And he pushes Luke. And then as a fight is about to occur, Obi-Wan whips out the lightsaber and cuts the dude's arm off.
Panda Baba, the warriest man.
The warriest man, yeah. and just again, it one of those things where it's the music stops. Guy gets his arm cut off. Right back to the thing. Because
yeah,
no. This probably happens like twice a day in this guy's bar, you know, on his shift, you know. So, all right.
So Han Solo, I'm saying, he was originally the list of people that was supposed to play him originally: Kurt Russell, Christopher Walken, even Billy Dee Williams. There's actually on the if you look at the Blu-ray,
yeah,
on the special they had the parodies. They actually do a thing of what if Christopher Walken was Han Solo. Hilarious. So we get to the next scene, though. That's the one I want to discuss. Jabba the Hutt.
54 minutes. Well, it's 52 minutes, 52:59.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's something different. I mean, I just want to discuss.
Oh, 54.
Just the special edition. The special edition, they added Jabba the Hutt scene.
Right.
That was never in the original version.
Right. And so, I have the original. I have the special version up.
Is
it Blu-rays?
Yeah, as far as... I mean, I'm not... To me, I don't think the scene really does anything but show Jabba the Hutt.
Well, it's just a thing where... Because as soon as Solo offers... As soon as he seals the deal with Kenobi, he gets bumped into by a bounty hunter.
Greedo. Yes.
And Greedo is the alien. I actually have the Christmas... Well, I hope you come to Christmas time. You'll be here Christmas time. You're going to see my ornament. It's a Christmas ornament. And it's them two in the booth. And you push the button and... He got to Solo? Yes, Greedo. I was about to give... You know, apparently, Han owes Jabba the Hutt some loot.
Yeah, the Imperials boarded his ship and took all of his...
And took all his cargo.
His cargo, yeah.
Stolen cargo. So now, you know, it's... Okay, well, whoever brings me... You know, Han Solo, I'll reward you. And again, Jabba is the man in the outer realm. So, but like Lou mentioned in the new version, in the old version, you don't see Jabba.
No,
you just load the ship, and
you learn about it from Greedo about what he's wanting.
Right, but
so that's why it feels like it's redundant. It's like we already learned why Jabba's after him, so they just wanted to put the scene in just to show Jabba and Boba Fett.
Right,
but the CGI, I mean. Yeah. When they first, in 97, when they first did the special edition, he looked horrible. I mean, he kind of had this like flat looking kind of look to him.
They made him a little thinner.
But he looked a little better in the Blu-ray.
He looks
version.
A lot better in the Blu-ray, yeah.
Yeah, they redid it and fixed him up on that.
So we can show you now the introduction of Jabba.
You
want to
do that? I mean,
it's up to you.
Yeah, I don't.
You
like
picked
I said,
it.
I really feel like that scene does nothing to the movie.
54 minutes, here you go. Hold on, let's put it up.
That's the mix.
Jabba. You're a wonderful human being.
Bosca.
And here's Boba Fett.
The ship's as fast as it's boasting. We ought to do well.
That was the introduction of the Millennium Falcon, which is another iconic spaceship.
Now somebody's leaking the their presence to the Imperial guys.
I love the reaction to the
it's a badass ship.
What a piece of junk!
She'll make 0.5 past light speed. She may not look like much, but she's got it where it counts, kid. I made a lot of special modifications myself. But we're a little rushed, so if you'll just get on board, we'll get out of here.
That's it?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that.
Okay. The ship itself, if your parents had money, you had it. I never had it.
No, I never.
They couldn't afford that. That was back then. It was $100.
Yeah.
That ship to buy as a toy. Yeah. And if you had it, it was like...
It was badass.
It was badass.
I had a friend whose brother had it.
Everybody had a friend who had it.
Yeah.
Okay? So, the ship itself, and I don't want to go into too detail because I could talk a lot, obviously, but... The ship itself was one of those toys that every detail of the ship was playable. It opened up. You could stand it up. You could sit it down. It had all the secret compartments in it.
Yep.
It had the cannon.
Cannons with the sound, right?
Had sound. The front opened. The chessboard was there. Yeah. Little chessboard that Chewbacca likes to play. Like, all of it.
It was cool, yeah.
Yeah, it was badass.
It's got to run a couple of thousand now.
Yeah, of course. Of course it does. Collection. All right, I'm going to queue up the next scene. Let's go. And while we're doing that, you can jump into...
Here we go. It is the Madonna scene that we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
So they escape from Tatooine. The stormtroopers start shooting at the Millennium Falcon. That's where we're left off with them.
Right.
And then we jump over to the Death Star, where Grand Moff Tarkin, I guess the general of the Death Star is trying to get information from Leia about where the Rebel base is.
Right.
And that's where we need this.
Give me 1 second. So, yeah, I mean, now they're just... and then the Falcon's trying to get into hyperspace to avoid being followed. And here we are with the Death Star. And this scene, right... And Lou's got it queued up to 57 minutes into the movie... if you queue it up on your side after you guys listen to the movie, after you listen to the show, for its time, it's a badass looking like clip. Like, look at this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, and of course, the Blu-ray makes it like that much better. But you could see how big it is compared to.
But that's what I was talking about before. It was amazing is the detail they put into some of this stuff.
Right.
That the Blu-ray didn't add anything. All they did was just enhance it so you can actually see it.
All right. So, and now you're going to see the ins. Well, what's the ship capable of doing?
Yes.
And it's complete now, right?
Yes.
Right. It's okay. Because in episode 3, they were building it.
They just started building it.
Started building it.
Took them 17 years, but I guess.
Hey, listen, man, Rome wasn't built in a day. It took 15 years to build the World Trade Center again. That was because of politics and money, but these guys didn't have a problem getting money because
they took it.
You know, because Sheev and the boys were in like Flynn. So it's taken out to this monumental scene.
We've entered the Alderaan system.
Governor Tarkin, I should have expected to find you holding Vader's leash. I recognized your foul stench when I was brought on board.
All right, Madonna.
Yeah.
Charming to the last. You don't know how hard I found it signing the order to terminate your life.
I'm surprised you had the courage to take the responsibility yourself.
Princess Leia, before your execution, I would like you to be my guest at a ceremony that will make this battle station operational. No star system will dare oppose the Emperor now.
The more you tighten your grip, Tarkin, the more star systems will slip through your fingers.
Not after we demonstrate the power of this station. In a way, you have determined the choice of the planet that will be destroyed first. Since you are reluctant to provide us with the location of the rebel base, I have chosen to test this station's destructive power on your home planet of Alderaan.
No! Alderaan is peace, but we have no weapons. You can't.
You will
possibly
prefer another target, a military target? Then name the system. I grow tired of asking this, so it'll be the last time. Where is the rebel base?
Dantooine. They're on Dantooine.
There. You see, Lord Vader, she can be reasonable. Continue with the operation. You may fire when ready.
What?
You're far too trusting. Dantooine is too remote to make an effective demonstration, but don't worry. We will deal with your rebel friends soon enough.
No.
Commence primary ignition.
Real quick, I want to talk about that explosion. When they first added those extra scenes in that, I freaking was blown away. Because if you remember the original explosion, it was kind of just like a firecracker, like pop.
Yeah, no, they enhanced it. So, and I'm not saying don't watch the original, because it's the original. I mean, if for nostalgia reasons. But if you, like, I'm playing the Blu-ray versions because I swear I got, these are backed up for me.
While we're talking about, what is your stance on the original non, you know, without being messed with compared to the special editions where they changed a lot of
things. Certain things that bothered me about it. Like, I didn't like the fact that they added Jabba the Hutt. I didn't like the fact that they added, like, the animals in the scene and like, some of the scenes on Tatooine. Shit like that. There was no need.
They made it a more crowded city.
Yeah, it was just like, it was overkill.
Okay.
But that was just for them to flex the muscle.
Yeah, you know?
Visually, though, in terms of, like, the color and the sound, it's apples. And even though the sound was great back then, it's all digitized. And
I like the explosions and everything. I actually like the animals and stuff, making the city a little bit more busier. It just feels more of a bigger city. The Greedo shooting first thing, you know, that's
annoying, yeah.
That's a
yeah,
a big controversy with a lot of fans. There's also a couple other little things, like if you notice when they show the stormtroopers in the docks, there's a shitload more than the original. They added CGI stormtroopers and stuff like that. When Han's running,
you have to go back and watch it a few times to get all the.
I think I think it holds up. I don't think I need to see the original. I would want to see the original, like you said, for nostalgia reasons, just to see how it looked. But I think the special editions are fine the way they are. I didn't have a problem as much as hardcore enthusiasts.
You know what? And we talked about that too. What's the next one? 110. Yeah. But like we talked about that too. Like you have to pick your battle. You can't. I mean, if you're gonna nitpick every single thing that's not in the original movie, I mean, then don't watch. You know, don't watch this version. Like I tell my wrestling fans when I do the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, I'm like, if you don't like the fucking product, Don't watch it.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember going to see like the first X-Men movie, right? When it first came out, like over a decade ago, probably.
Yeah, 2000.
Right? And like I'm in the theater and I'm not a big X-Men fan, but I know the character, I know the premise. And there's like three or four kids sitting in front of me and they're like just cackling, like, this ain't right. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, this is not right. They didn't do this in the book and blah, blah, blah. And it just goes again. I hate repeating myself. I'm like, what are you doing? I know you want to see it, but like, enjoy it. You know, like it's somebody's interpretation. You know, with this, it's just George Lucas opening more studios. Like, hey, look, we have these guys that can do this now.
Yeah, right.
Hey, look what I can do. Push a button. Oh, look at that! Boom! It's a firecracker. Now it's a fucking explosion.
Yeah,
it's a firecracker. Now it's an M80. You know, it's thank you. I added some more fucking. Sand people. I added some more of this. I Greedo shot first. Listen, they made T-shirts about that.
Yeah,
hand shot first. You know, whatever.
It was huge. It was a huge controversy.
It was a big debate. Like people were like, they blew message boards when message boards were popular. Yeah. I just.
Well, supposedly in the Blu-ray version, they changed it so it's a little closer where they look like they're both shooting at the same time. I still didn't notice it as much as they say that it was a big difference, but it's supposedly it's a little bit better than the original. Well, the original special edition. Because in the original movie, what happened was Han just shot Greedo for no reason. Just basically pulled his gun and shot him.
Yeah.
So they made it like where, as Greedo shooting first, it was like he was defending himself. He wasn't a scoundrel.
Right.
But and that's what pissed everybody off. It's like, no, he's a scoundrel. That's what's supposed to be. He's a dirty fighter.
Exactly. Exactly. So now Alderaan is blown up. The princess is about to be executed. They're gonna kill her off. They don't care now at this point. They think they can find the plans without her because they're hot on the trail. But
well, the Millennium Falcon now arrives at the Alderaan to find
that Alderaan's not there,
and they get caught up in a tractor beam from the Death Star.
Okay, and they don't know what this is. Looks like they know it's a space station of some sort. They don't know
that's no moon.
That is definitely no moon. They get on and manipulate a couple of stormtroopers, and they dress up. Well, actually, Han and Luke dress up as stormtroopers. Kenobi's now sent to lower the force field.
The force field, yeah.
To, you know.
The tractor beam so they can escape.
To get the hell out of there. Which takes us now to the next scene. So let's talk about the scene for a second.
So now they find... R2 is going through the databanks.
And sees that the princess
is there. The princess from the message is there, Princess Leia.
Right.
And Luke wants to go and rescue her. And of course, Han doesn't want to. Because
he's not part of the plane. He's just a pilot.
He was supposed to drop them off at Alderaan, get his money, and back.
Now it's like, now he's screwed because there's no Alderaan. He's got to get them back, but now he's in this mess. And now... Han's almost forced to help them because he wants to get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
So it works out.
So now they got to talk Han into helping, and this is where this scene comes in.
There you go.
And I love this scene because this is Han's character. Yeah. This shows exactly who he is.
The Force will be with you. Always.
First time you hear that, too.
Well, you said it, Chewie. Where did you dig up that old fossil?
Ben is a great man.
Yeah, great at getting us into trouble.
I didn't hear you give any ideas.
Well, anything better than just hanging around waiting for him to pick us up.
Who do you think... What is it?
I'm afraid I'm not quite sure, sir. He says I found her and keeps repeating she's here.
Well, who? Who has he found?
Princess Leia.
The princess? She's here?
Princess?
Where is she?
Princess, what's going on?
Thank you. Level 5, detention block AA-23. I'm afraid she's scheduled to be terminated.
I love how they put that in the database.
We've got to do something. What are you talking about?
The droids belong to her. She's the one in the message. We got to help her.
Now look, don't get any funny ideas. The old man wants us to wait right here.
But he didn't know she was here. We just find a way back into the detention block.
I'm not going anywhere.
They're going to execute her. Look, a few minutes ago you said you didn't want to just wait here to be captured. Now all you want to do is stay?
Marching into the detention area is not what I had in mind.
But they're going to kill her.
Better her than me.
That sums him up right there.
She's rich.
Rich.
Rich, powerful. Listen, if you were to rescue her, the reward would be...
What?
Well, more wealth than you can imagine.
I don't know. I can imagine quite a bit.
You'll get it.
I better.
You will.
All right, kid. You better be right about this.
All right.
What's your plan?
3PO, hand me those binders there, will ya?
It's such a great. When I saw it, I was like, I gotta put. We gotta hear this out.
But seriously though, they put the execution in the main computer. Like, could you imagine working the night shift? You come in, you're like, all right, LR 2357. You log into your shift. Do your prisoner check. Click on cell block D, whatever it is.
Oh, cool. We got a princess.
All right, we got the princess. Okay, princess. Holy shit, they're going to kill her? I don't think they would put that in the data, in like the main computer.
Maybe so like everybody else knows, like, listen, you know, don't give her extra helpings of food. She's going to die anyway, you know. Maybe just budget reasons
and Lou, in fucking typical fucking Imperial fashion, justifies them putting an execution in the database of the Death Star.
It's like, don't. Clean the area, you know.
Don't give any fresh linen.
Yeah, no fresh linen.
None of that shit. Yeah. Oh, you're a terrible human being. You know that? Oh my sweet Christ! Oh my goodness!
So,
go ahead, man.
So now the next scene. What happens? Well, the plan is they're gonna put handcuffs on Chewie and pretend they're taking him into the detention center as a prisoner, dressed up as stormtroopers.
Yep.
And, of course, things go awry because the stormtroopers don't believe him. Well, the head warden, I guess, of the detention center.
Yeah, they ask him for an ID check. And he's like, no. Boom.
Yeah, and he shoots him.
So now we're going to have company. Luke, yeah. You better hustle. Do what you got to do. I want to get out of here.
So Luke runs off and goes to find Leia in one of the cell blocks.
And
this exchange here is one of my favorites.
Yep.
Han, Harrison Ford. Actually didn't learn his lines on purpose, so this way he could sound like he didn't know what he was saying.
So, I didn't know that he had lived it?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And you know what? To his credit, guy's a great actor. So.
Yeah, and this is only his second movie. Oh, well,
and he was old at this point. Because he was almost 40 at this point. 30, no. He's 30-something. He's got to be...
No.
He's like 70 now, isn't he?
Yeah, but he was like 20, right? I think it was late 20s.
No way. Hold on.
Because when he was in... remember, he played pretty much a teenager in American Graffiti.
Yeah, but he wasn't... Hold on a minute. Let me get my... where's my shit? Did I have my shit open? Well, I must have closed it. Fucker. Hold on a minute. Where is it? There we go. Where's Harrison Ford? Let me just give you real quick. So he's right now... How old is he? He's 73 years old.
73, right?
So 2015 minus 1977. Let's do the math. Hold on a minute. Let's do the math. No, that's my alarm clock. Hold on.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, I'm thinking 2015
minus 1977. He was almost 40 years old.
That can't, wow.
He was 38, I told you.
Holy shit.
Right. Okay. I did my homework. Wow. Anyway.
That's amazing.
Right, so... And great, he's like you said, this was like his second film, right?
Yeah, because he did American Graffiti. Francis Ford Coppola, which is good friends with George Lucas, had him in Apocalypse Now. But he was kind of like in that background character guy.
Yeah,
he did like two lines or something like that.
Yeah.
And he actually wasn't even considered for this role. He was actually just reading some of the parts to help the other actors out. And then George Lucas was like, wait a minute, you know what? This guy's perfect for it.
Right.
Exactly.
So this scene right here is I guess the other Imperial guards know to find out there's some kind of noise going on. They shoot all the cameras out. They want to know what's going on down there, and that's the setup to this scene.
Let's do it.
This is just a whole
everything's under control. Situation normal.
What happened?
It's like weapons malfunction, but everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
How are you?
How are you?
Negative. We have a reactor leak here now. Give us a few minutes to lock down. Largely very dangerous.
Who is this? What's your operating number?
Conversation anyway.
Whoa, we're gonna have company! That's it? Yeah. Anyway.
That's just a great... It's just so funny. He just pulls
yeah,
it that
of course. Of course. All right, so they get the princess.
Battle ensues.
The battle ensues.
They escape from the garbage chute.
Yeah.
I don't care how bad it smells.
Oh, they get caught in this compactor, this trash compactor. And it's just like, you know, a comedy thing where the thing keeps free. It's compacting, it's closing in. And they have that, you know, they obviously get saved, but there's some creatures living in there. They pull Luke under. It's pretty funny actually. But it's nothing that we have to like really go into depth about, but you know, so they get the princess. They're still being attacked. The classic scene right before Lou has me go up to this next part is Leia and him. They have to swing up to the next part of the of the destination, but there's no the drawbridge thingy is out.
They actually did this scene themselves, and they did it in one take.
The stunt,
yeah,
that I knew,
yeah.
So now they're getting shot on. Luke is getting some kind of like the grappling thing, and he's trying to get to the other side because it's an iconic part of the movie.
Yeah,
you know, it's something that it's always and because they did their own stunt, it was more done then than it is now. Obviously, they'll use stunt doubles for people going to the bathroom, you know, because they don't want to jeopardize the person's part and what have you. But this is something that happened pretty much all the time back in the day, you know, and to do it in one take, you know, is pretty impressive.
Yeah,
so let's take you now to that real quick. Let me turn this back up.
That's what I wanted.
Yeah, 129, right?
No, I didn't have that.
You sure?
Yep. Yes. Yeah. As I did.
Yes. Yeah.
Because the next scene, yes.
Yeah.
They may be on level 5.
I've seen Hans chasing after
the
stormtroopers.
So now Obi-Wan feels the presence of Vader, breaks out the lightsaber as he works his way towards the force field. Stormtroopers all over the Millennium Falcon at this point.
Close the blast doors.
Since episode 3.
This is epic.
It is. It does mean a little bit more, too, now that you know the backstory of them.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for you, Obi-Wan. We meet again at last. The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Only a master of evil, Darth.
Yeah, obviously. We
everybody ages very quickly.
Seriously, space must suck.
Yeah.
Your powers are weak, old man.
You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
You should not have come back.
All right, so the battle ensues, right?
It was the first lightsaber fight.
Ever.
Which was damn impressive for its time. I mean, everybody in that freaking... Every kid in the neighborhood had a stick with that. Was that lightsaber?
Broomsticks. Hell yeah. I can tell you right now, I've had quite a wiffle ball bats that were lightsabers. You know. So now, obviously, at this point, they're trying to get away. But the field, the beam is not down.
No, the beam is down.
The beam is down, but they have to get, they're waiting for Ben Kenobi.
The stormtroopers are surrounding
the Millennium Falcon. And now the stormtroopers are like, all right, listen. They see the fight. Now they're going towards to look for the other two. And now the droids are making their way towards it. Now, it's funny because, you know, I think Kenobi obviously knew that he was destined to do this.
Yes.
I don't think he knew he wasn't getting out alive.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So, as soon as you heard him say, when you strike me down, you know, I'll be more powerful.
Yeah.
You know, so that he strikes him down, he disappears. Like, doesn't even die. Like, he just disappears.
Yeah, he just...
and then Darth Vader just steps on and makes sure he's not there anymore.
Yeah, like, with a trap door or something.
Like, Luke screams and they get away and, you know, the fight ensues and, you know...
They get away and they got the plans.
So, you know what? I think it's funny, too, because it's... Watching it again... It was weird just seeing him disappear. Like, you know, we always wondered why he...
Yeah, and they never really...
They never really talked about that.
No, not in the prequels, because nobody... Even on Qui-Gon, he got stabbed and he went down. That was it.
You know, it was like...
He even had a couple of last words, teach the boy, you know.
Like, the age...
Obi-Wan just disappeared.
Like, I didn't think Obi-Wan was that old. Yeah. 17 years later. I mean, it's... That stuff, I guess... You can't really fix because of the people who played the character. Like, yeah, obviously, Sir Alec Guinness has passed on for a while now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you could even bring him back to do anything. But, like, still, like, it's, you know. It's
well, he was old for that. I mean,
right,
77,
yeah.
So.
Right. So, they get the plans. And now they head back to their remote rebel base.
Yavin 4. Yep. That's the name of it. They filmed that in South America, I think.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool because they got all the Mayan temples and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's the thing, too, man. Lucas did it right. You know, he filmed all that crazy shit in exotic places.
Exotic places, yeah. Stuff that looked alien to normal people. Yeah. It didn't look like a regular world.
Like, you know? Who's been to...
We didn't have the internet back then.
Yeah, know? nobody... You saw South America on postcards.
Exactly.
Unless you visited.
Or you National know? Geographic or something.
I didn't know the Middle East until I saw fucking Raiders of the Lost Ark.
It's true.
Seriously,
it's true.
Germany. You're like, like Lou said, we didn't have the internet. But yeah, they reformed. They showed the plans, and now it's Han Solo is in it. He's in the shit. You know, he's
well. He wants to take his money and leave.
He wants to take his money and leave. He's like, listen, man, I'm done with this. Let me just get my money. But they know he can help. They know how great of a pilot he is. Obviously, now they see that, and him and the princess start this love-hate thing going on, you know.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, I know you want me, but listen, you're a princess, and I'm a thug. Exactly. You know, it's like the rich girl with the you know, it's like one of those TV shows.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, school specials. You know, I'm the criminal, you're the nice person. We shouldn't be together, exactly. But yet, you know, we're sneak.
Lady and the Tramp kind of thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, exactly.
Luke is he's disappointed with Han. Han's like, yeah, come with me. We're gonna
take care of this. He's like, nah, dude. I have to go pay Jabba the Hutt.
Yep.
You know, and you know what, too? That pisses me off, and we'll get into that during Empire. Like, you knew. Like, they knew he had a debt to pay.
Yeah.
They knew he had people looking for him. Like, you gotta be that You're that greedy? You're that heartless? Let the guy pay his debt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, at least let the rebels take care of it for him. You know, yeah, like, hey, you know what? We got this, all right? We'll take care of Jabba for you.
You like to, yeah.
You're a real asset to us. So,
listen,
you know.
we'll send the money to Jabba. We'll bring it to him. We'll send one of our ships over there. You know, at this point, but they are so secretly, remotely in South America that they didn't want anybody to find them. Yeah. So, of course, Han's got to do that and take care of that. And all of a sudden, like, Luke's a pilot all of a sudden.
Yeah,
like he gets his crash course trained. I was like, I was like, are you serious right now? Are we really having
my favorite is his friend comes Biggs Darklighter.
Biggs,
they added that into the special edition. That wasn't the original.
Yeah,
but the first thing I noticed was, holy shit, is that a '70s mustache? He has the whole Burt Reynolds thing. I think it's at 143. If you want to take a look at it. Yeah. I had to mark it down because I laughed. I was like, I think that's the only thing that feels dated. And then some of the computer stuff, too. Like when they show like what the Death Star plans are and everything.
Let's play this real quick. This is Homeboy, right?
Yeah.
All pilots near station.
They're all gearing up to...
What's wrong?
Oh, it's Han. I don't know. I really thought he changed his mind.
He's got to follow his own path. No one can choose it for him.
Luke's got.
I only wish Ben were here.
He's got those fucking eyes.
Gross. Now that you know what you know, it's like, I wish Ben was here to see this incest.
It's like, I wish Ben was here. Sympathy.
Hey, Luke!
Sympathy fuck.
Dude, I don't believe it.
Hey,
how are you?
How'd you get it?
Hey, you coming up?
I'll be right up there with you. And have I got stories to tell you?
You sure you can handle this shit?
Sir, Luke is the best pushed pilot in the Outer Rim territories.
Really?
You'll do all right.
Thank you, sir. I'll try.
We gotta get aboard.
We'll hear all your stories when we get back, all right?
Right.
No, you won't.
Hey, Biggs. I told you I'd make it someday.
It'll be like old times, Luke. They'll never stop us.
That pissed me off so much. Because he was a moisture farmer. An hour and a half ago.
And what was the point of him going to the academy if he was
a fucking pilot already? Yeah. Like, what are you getting advanced training?
And he states when they're doing the Death Star War Room thing that he flew the T-16 Skyhoppers. If you see those, these are little ships.
Yeah.
They kind of look like the Imperial ship in Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
The Y thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's something like that, but way, way smaller. And it's like, okay, you were doing that on land.
Those transport planes. They weren't really, they weren't like fighter planes, you know?
No, but the T-16s were like, they just had similar looks to it. But yeah, it was just, he would fly them around in the canyons. It was like, okay, you're fucking flying a fucking X-Wing in space and dogfighting against trained Imperial soldiers. Who, you know what I'm saying? Who do this for a living, basically.
Let's talk about the dogfight for a second. So now, obviously, the main goal now is to get to the core of the Death Star, and put two proton torpedoes in it and blow it up. Right. With all this technology, it just takes that.
Yeah.
Again, it's 1977. I get it. Okay, and I'm not nitpicking, but like it just back then it was amazing. 35 years later, you're like, really? All that? Hands down, the best looking ship, the best sounding ship. Is an Imperial TIE fighter.
Yeah, it's cool.
The toy, to this day, and if I wish I had it, I have a Christmas ornament of it, of course. It makes that screeching sound.
Yeah.
And if you push a button, the wings pop. The wings popped off of it.
Yeah.
You know. And I mentioned the pilot already. How I love the pilot. You know. Mm-hmm. So I just want to let me see if I can get a.
And Vader's ship, too, the TIE Interceptor.
Yeah.
Which was a variation of the TIE fighter.
Yeah, like the lead.
Red 6, do you see Red 5? There's a heavy fire zone on this side. Red 5, where are you?
I can't shake it!
There it is. Classic sound.
Yeah.
I'm on it, Luke.
Hold on.
George Lucas had based this whole dogfighting scene from the old World War II footage.
Yes. That I know. The
dogfighting scene. Awesome fight. To this day, there's still not a freaking dogfight that's leader, so well done. Leader. And no CGI.
No CGI.
Actual models.
All scale models. That's a way to fall. I'm sorry. that sound came out of the ship.
Yeah.
When you bought the ship as a kid. Probably worth $4,000 now. But
yeah.
But if there's a variation of a TIE fighter in this next crop of toys, I might be going home with one Friday morning.
Yeah, I think there is, because they showed one in the trailer. Remember, they showed it flying around the dock?
Yeah.
I could pretty much guarantee.
Yeah, Lou.
Phil's going home with that.
Coming home with a TIE fighter. I'll have to build another shelf.
Mikey, don't touch my toys.
He's not receptive. I mean, he'll watch it, but he's still not, like, receptive to it yet. He's great. He's getting it, but...
Yeah.
But anyway... So,
back to the scale models. I mean, even the trench, when he goes through the Death Star trench, that was all they built a huge.
They built this thing,
set. Was,
and here's the trench now.
And they took a camera and they went right through. And how much danger does it feel like when you're watching that compared to when you're watching cartoonish kind of walls? You know, like this is kind of a sense of impact.
But now seeing this scene right here, particularly now Darth Vader gets into the mix, he was an outstanding pilot.
Yeah.
As Anakin Skywalker. So now this makes perfect sense to me, seeing it again after seeing the prequels. But like Lou mentioned, man, this is not CGI, man. This is all scale models. The Rebels didn't have many ships to spare either.
Yeah.
That's what made it more unique. Like the Imperial fleet was twice the size of the Rebel fleet.
Yeah.
Right? If that makes
And also the one thing they did too was they made it. The Rebels look more like junkyardish kind of older ships.
Yeah.
Whereas the Imperials had the more sleek kind of the more technology. They had the money to spend for that.
Yep.
Like the Army. I mean, they are basically the military.
Yeah. Yeah. But TIE Fighters are the greatest looking sounding ship, a toy. forget it. It's like, I think every bad guy toy was cool back in the day,
I've always been the X-Wing guy. I'm the
X-Wing guy. Nah, me, yeah. Even with G.I. Joe, I was like the Cobra, the Tank Smasher, the plane.
Yes.
Plane was fresh to death. That plane was fresh to death. Not that the helicopter wasn't badass because it came with Wild Bill, but...
Oh, yeah.
But now at this point, they're panicking. The Imperial lead guys, the General Talk and all those cats, that they're upset now because it's just about under 15 minutes, I think. At this point in the time lapse of them getting actually to the core,
yeah,
right. The Rebels are making a dent now, and it's like, okay, Luke is feeling the Force. Now he hears Ben talking to him. He thinks he's not hallucinating. He's doing drugs, but now he's getting like this. I'm good now. Use the Force.
Tells him stop using the computers.
Stop using the computer. Don't put the gear on. The defense system of the Death Star is now between the defense system with the cannons coming out in the trench, and then of course the TIE fighters. Again, not many ships. It's like at least three or five of them left. Here comes the Imperial guys, and they're going to be swooping in.
Darth Vader pretty much wipes out the whole fucking squadron.
He does, except for obviously Luke Skywalker. But.
Which we got to give props to a special mention to for Jack Porkins. Poor bastard got stuck with that name. The fat dude.
Yeah, the poor fat dude.
They called him Porkins.
Porkins. I'm sure he looked at script and said, really, man?
Really? Why'd I gotta get that name, man?
Really? Like, come on, dude.
Lucas looked at him like, really? Come on.
You know, like...
That's you.
Yeah, I mean, really, dude. And they just,
You were born for that part.
Two ships down. Three ships down. And now they're making the dent.
Yeah, the first guy does it, he misses.
The initial blast was sent, and they're like, oh, god damn it. Now what? Now I have one ship on me. It's Luke. And who's behind him? Darth Vader. Shall we play it?
Oh, yeah, it's a little bit more further, though.
Minutes, yeah. There's one, two, there's three ships left. Darth Vader takes one out. Boom, there's one. He's like, dead. Now Luke is like, getting close. 10 minutes. And those helmets and the people who ran the Death Star.
Yeah.
Those helmets are corny looking, man. Those big.
And why do you need a helmet to pull down a lever?
Yeah. Why? What do you? Is it a safety hazard? Exactly. Did OSHA come in? Yeah.
They have like a sign there: 25 days since the last accident.
Yeah, like, it's like, do not go in here with that or a helmet. Lord Vader, we've had several non-issues in the last 30 days. Okay. Leave your helmets on. Leave your helmets on. But yeah, it's just, you know, this is the scene of scenes, man. This is where it goes, and let me know when I can queue it up.
The virtual reality, they're going to have a game for this. Imagine going flying through that trench, man.
Well, there's a 3D version of it when we were kids in the arcade.
Yes, I remember that.
With the handle, you go in, it's all three-dimensional.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
all like, it's... That was the first time we heard arcade speak. Use the force,
whoa,
Luke.
You're like, yeah.
What? It's all digitized and shit. I was like,
more corners, more corners. Yeah, exactly. Yes, yes.
Ma.
Vader's like, what the hell? I got one ship to go? No, there's two.
Oh, yeah, it's Biggs is still alive.
Biggs is still with him.
Biggs gets shot, but he survives. He moves on, right?
He moves on.
Yeah, he just says, I can't do anything yet. You're
and
on your
R2's
own.
R2's like, I've been through this shit before.
Listen, yeah. It's like,
this is old hat to me, man. You know? It's old hat to me. Vader takes a shot. There goes Biggs.
Yeah, Biggs is gone.
Biggs is gone. Say goodnight, Gracie. Now you're down to one ship. General's all like, okay, this is getting serious. Why is Vader doing this anyway? Why can't he? There's no other trained pilots.
Not really, right?
You know? He's like, no.
It's kind of like Thanos, you know? I was like, got to do everything myself.
Yeah, really. I have to. Now Vader's like, listen, I can get this, you know?
Just Luke getting ready to shoot the...
Use the force, Luke.
Yeah, no. Use the force. I'm so let close. Let go.
The force is strong.
Let's go with the controllers. Not the controllers!
Yeah, you know what? Fuck it.
Luke, you switched off your targeting computer. What's wrong?
Nothing.
Nothing. I'm fuck your right. Couch. I'm going in. That dial must. He must have broke that. What is that dial, man?
I was just noticing that. I was like, what is he turning?
R2 gets jacked again. Dude, robot's got more lives than a cat.
Rebel base in range.
You may fire when ready.
Come in. See those computer graphics.
There's the helmet guy.
Yeah, we have a face protector and everything on that guy.
Galactic OSHA.
I have you not. What?
Yahoo!
That's great. Linear Falcon comes back. Hellfire Luke.
That's it.
Last second.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
I love the music on this.
Dial ain't working for you anymore, is it, Darth Vader? Anyway, so now Luke gets back. He's the hero.
He's the hero.
He's the hero.
After his one-day training class?
One-day training, kisses his sister, hugs his sister. Han Solo's like the best friend now. You know? And everybody's happy. Oh, poor R2 is all jacked up. This fucking guy.
I love the line C-3PO says.
Right work on him right away.
You must repair him. Sir, if any of my circuits or gears will help, I'll gladly donate them. He'll be all right.
Some of my shit's got to work for him.
And then, of course, the celebration.
This is the ceremony, yes.
The ceremony.
See, on this one, too, they added extra
troopers. They added more people, yeah.
More people.
Yeah, of course.
With the in the special edition.
Yeah. Anyway.
So we made it to episode four.
Episode four. A New Hope. Now Leia's dressed up in this this fucking princess garb.
Now, you remember, too, it wasn't originally called The New Hope. When it first came out, it was just called Star Wars.
Yeah.
And then when Empire came out, then that's when they added New Hope.
Right. Greatest movie of all time.
Hell yeah. That's all we've been talking about. October.
So I just want to do one more part. Princess Leia now is giving medals of honor to Captain Solo.
Yep.
And Luke Skywalker gets his. He's all excited. 3PO is all shined up. R2's all fixed. He's hopping around. They show him for a second. There's Luke getting his medal. Chewbacca doesn't get one, right?
Yeah, right?
No.
Racist.
Yeah, Chewbacca doesn't get it, but he lets out a big yell. In other words, yeah, clap now.
Bitch, clap.
Yeah, when a 7-foot Wookiee tells you to clap, you clap. Did we miss anything?
Nope.
Give me 1 second. Let me see. Let's check Wikipedia real quick. Let's see. I just want to give the...
It's one of those movies I revisit at least once a year.
Yeah, of course.
And every time, it just still brings that same feeling. I mean, I've had last couple of weeks of crappy work, man, but that totally like it was like a drug. Like, I just felt like I was just taken away to another place. I love it. And this is why we do this, because this is why we love Star Wars.
The film became, according to Wikipedia, the film became an instant success within the first 3 weeks of the film's release. 20th Century Fox's stock doubled to record high.
Mm-hmm.
Before 77... 20th Century Fox's greatest annual profits were $37 million in 77. They went up to $79 million. Although the film's cultural neutrality helped to gain international success, Mr. Ladd, who was a big part of this, became anxious during the premiere in Japan. After the screening, the audience was silent, leading Ladd to believe that the film would be unsuccessful. He later was told in Japan, silence was a great honor to them. That's why they didn't say anything. They didn't clap. It's anything in Japan.
Yeah.
Wrestling, like, they don't scream and yell. They clap. It's a thing. They're not very rambunctious, okay? They premiered it in the Chinese theater in California, in L.A.
Which Lucas didn't even go to.
Right.
He thought the movie was going to bomb.
They sent Anthony Daniels. They sent the guy who played R2-D2, the midget guy. Yeah. What's the hell's his name? The little people, I'm sorry.
Kenny Baker.
Kenny Baker. And Darth Vader. Here's the best. The Star Wars merchandise was available to children upon release by Kenner, who believed that the film would be unsuccessful, had accepted the licensing offers. Kenner responded to the sudden demand by selling boxed vouchers in empty boxes at Christmas. Yeah. These vouchers would be redeemed in March of 78.
One thing we didn't talk about was fucking Lucas, being a genius that he is, took a huge pay cut just to get merchandising rights.
Yep.
And they laughed at him like, movies didn't sell toys.
Right.
Really barely. Planet of the Apes sold some toys, stuff like that, but nothing huge. It wasn't a huge market.
TV shows sold toys.
Yeah.
$6 Million Man.
Yeah. Those weren't huge money makers. So they were like, all right, fine, fuck it. They thought they were getting away with something.
Right.
Now the guy is a billionaire because of toys. He made more on the toys than he did on all the movies.
Is that your phone going off there?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I was like, wow, that's heavy. Anyway, what else? We talked about the effects, digital technology we talked about, the box set in 2004 with all the remakes.
Real quick, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. When we were talking about Lucas with the premiere.
Yes.
He went to he went on vacation with Steven Spielberg. And there they came up with the idea for Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's dope.
That's pretty awesome.
Another podcast you might have to do. I love. I like the first two movies. The first two movies were amazing.
I love all of them. Yeah. I'm even a Crystal Skull fan.
You know what? I saw it in the movies. I was like, all right. It wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, I didn't hate it as much as
it. Just don't show it to my wife because she fucking destroys it. Now Tony and his movies. Don't even get me started. Anyway, but this is going to start the run, and I can promise you, Lou can promise you that the next two are going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
This is
starting from this one on.
Yeah.
I was just...
Listen, I talked a lot in the last couple because I felt like the technicality of it all, I figured, why not? Just take notes, copy and paste a lot of shit. And I might do that again, not as much as I did the last couple ones, but for next month in particular, and I can't stress you how amazing that movie is to me and how it impacted my life, how it impacted Lou's life. It is it's the definition of everything cool in this series.
Yes.
It set the tone for the last movie, and it probably set the tone for the one that's coming out now.
Yeah.
It gives you an idea of what's good and what's really bad. And we'll talk about why there's no happy ending there, and talking about, why people had to lose limbs and why this movie, why The New Hope was so much, it explained so much after the prequels came out. A lot of questions we didn't know.
This one little movie had so much world building in it.
Yeah.
It was, you felt like you were, like something that was created years ago and you were just being a part of it. And you really do feel like you just jumped in the middle of a story.
Right.
And it really is amazing. It really takes you away. You said, and it just sets the tone for the next two.
Yeah.
Where things are going to go.
Anything else before I play the outro and give some plugs and stuff like that?
Nah, man. It was just an honor to be hitting episode 4, man. All right. We had some bumpy roads.
Yeah.
With a mannequin.
Yeah. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. Like I said, go get the new toys when they come out. This will be on geeksintheindustry.com. This will be on rantemradio.com. They'll be debuting it live a couple times in the upcoming week. This episode is dedicated to the memory of our buddy Tim Schisler, who passed away yesterday from the Inclusive Breakdown podcast on Shining Wizards Network. Go to shiningwizardsnetwork.com. Get all their shows. Get all our shows there. RantEMRadio.com. And pretty much everybody else who supports us. Thank you very much, Lou, and I thank you very much for this.
Thank you.
We'll be back next month with The Empire Strikes Back.
Hopefully some good stories about Toys R Us at 12 o'clock midnight.
You're going to have one story will be told, at least. No kids are going to be up at that hour. We're going to be fighting adults.
We're going to be fighting, exactly. You don't even know who that is. Give me that.
Give me that fucking lightsaber, you savage. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the episode. We toned it down a little bit so we can, enjoy it a little more than we have been. Now that we have our groove back, it only took us 4 episodes. But again, thank you. Lou, anything else before we go?
No, man, it was great.
All right. So on behalf of Lou, I'm Phil. Peace out. May the Force be with you. And we'll see you next month.
Remember to let the Wookiee win.
That's right, bitches.